Welcome to Frankly Speaking. What's life like after 60? Some of us ask that question from time to time. Others hate to think about what many view as the twilight years. But for Max and Ethel Zutiker, that's not the case. In fact, for them, life is just beginning. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Too often, we don't ask the experts, the over 60s themselves, about how to handle aging. Both Ethel and Max belong to a group called Not to Be Alone that Ethel founded in 1977 in New York City. Ethel and Max met each other through this group, and their friendship resulted in marriage last year. They're here to tell us how older people can find companionship and also enjoy life more in the later years. Ethel, what prompted you to start Not to Be Alone?
When my husband died, I was very blue. I almost had a nervous breakdown at one point. Most people do. I mean, they reach that stage where they can't cope anymore being alone. There was an organization called the Widows Consultation Center that was funded by Prudential Life Insurance Company. And I was able to partake of their program there. And I thought it was wonderful. But I went back to work. And when I went to find the program again, I found that they were no longer funded. So I have a very good union. And I went to the cultural director of my union, of the retirees program of my union, thinking that maybe she might know how I could set up a grant. And all of a sudden she turned to me and she said, "Why don't you start a pilot program here?" All I did was say, "Who, me?" I didn't think I could do it, but I decided I would try, and it just bloomed. It did. It was very good.
Now, how old were you when you started the program?
When I started the program, I had already retired. I was in my 60s. It was about 4 years ago that I started. Yeah, 62.
Now, Max. Now,
yes?
Why did you join the program?
I lost my wife a year before, and I was very blue. I tried to go to centers for the elderly, and I decided that I'll go to the union, being that I read in the union paper there's a program for the people that lost their spouse, and I came in there, and I met Ethel there.
It was well publicized in both our larger union paper, which is for all the members, there's over 100,000 people, and the retirees section, which is 10,000 people. Many of them live down in Florida, but the program was, of course, in New York.
Now, you both mentioned the union. What did you do before you retired?
This is a civil service union for state, county, and municipal people who have worked in civil service. But when I say union, that is the one that encompasses all the locals. I worked at Brooklyn College, and he was a pharmacist, so he worked in a different section. But when you retire, you become a member of the larger organization, which is District Council 37 in New York.
How important are support groups?
Well, I think they're very important. They're extremely important. We have a union that supports the retirees in every way they possibly can. They've even brought a college in there. You can get a degree there from an accredited college. It's the College of New Rochelle. And we both went to it. I got my bachelor's there. He got a second degree there. And really, it's a marvelous program that they have there. Every which direction you want to name, cultural, educational.
Now, Max, now you got a second degree. What did you get your degree in?
I worked as a pharmacist, and I got my degree from Fordham University in New York. I started, again, I listened to Ethel, and she told me not to get out of my
depression.
Mood, I should start to take lectures and join that program.
And you had to go for your degree there.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't just accept you there. It was a regular college course.
Yeah.
Now, Ethel, you started working on a master's program. Tell me about that.
Well, I've always liked to write, wanted to write. And I guess I got a bug in my head after I got my bachelor's, and I simply thought, well, I'd like to go to a college and write for in the field of gerontology. Here I was getting this experience, and I was a senior citizen, and I did. I went to NYU. I took about a year and a half. I stopped only because, well, it is expensive, and I wasn't sure that it would lead me anywhere, so I thought, well, I won't continue with it. Besides, I have so many other activities.
Such as?
Well, I'm a stamp collector, for one thing. I have been since the 1960s. I like civics, and I read a lot, politics. I take courses at the union. These are non-credit courses, but I do take courses at the union. I go to the ballet. I go to museums. I love to get around New York. It's my favorite place.
Now, many people have a stereotype that older people, elderly people, like to flee south. Why do you stay in New York?
I don't like the idea of the South. I like New York, where everything, they have everything, and very convenient by subway.
You ride the subway?
I have to ride the subway. I don't have a car. But yes, if you ride at a certain time of day, it's not going to, it's not that bad. I wouldn't go out at night. I go during matinees. I go in the afternoon. Saturday and Sunday, they have it in the afternoon. So you can get around.
So your lifestyle doesn't have to change because you're older, is that it?
Not unless you want it to. I know lots of people that allow it to, and they will stay back and they'll cry at the drop of a hat. I discourage that in my program, not to be alone, because I said you have a loss, it's true, but you have to replace with something or somebody. And it doesn't have to be a man-woman relationship. It just happened that we got together, but a woman-woman, you know, when you're lonely, call somebody. We gave out phone numbers. Many people felt, well, I don't like to go to the museums by myself. This way they could go with somebody. And on holidays, weekends, that's the worst time. Somehow people forget you during those times. And this way they were able to get together. And it really is a very successful program. It's going to this day, although I'm not active in it anymore. It became a self-help program. It didn't need to be led any longer. It was led from within, and it's still going strong.
How many people were in it when you were there?
The first time they came together, about 60 people walked in, and I thought I'd die. Really, I didn't think I'd be able to manage it. I remember I was talking very fast. I had a lot to say, but I didn't know if it would last me for the time that was allotted to me. By the second time, maybe 40 people came, and I guess it got down to maybe 20 regulars, 25 regulars. Comes and goes. Sometimes they drop out, sometimes they come back. But the friendships last.
Now, what's the ratio of men to women? I know there are more women than men.
If there were 100 people, you might get one man. No, I don't mean it that way. There were about 3 or 4 men to, let's say, 30 women. It's a very small ratio. It's not that there isn't a need for men. It's just that I think they're afraid of so many women.
Now, Max, now yes. How did you feel when you were surrounded by all of these women?
I liked it. I like to be famous over there. Why not?
he's not the kind of man I'm talking about. He's a very friendly, outgoing person, and he enjoyed being there. Some people did feel intimidated, I think. Once in a while, somebody would come in, and then they'd leave after that one time, and they never came back.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the group participates in a lot of activities, like going to the opera and museums and whatnot.
Museums, whatever is of interest to them, they go out to eat. They go to the college. We encourage them to go to the college if they could. Some of them took advantage of that. And I encourage them to go to Elder Hostel. I think I was the one that really introduced them to Elder Hostel. A couple of us had gone to the first well, the first year was 1975 or some such time, and we came back with such glowing descriptions of it that we passed the word along. And after that, quite a few of them started going.
Now, what's Elder Hostel?
A professor in New Hampshire, called the University of New Hampshire, had come back from overseas and had talked about the youth hostels over there. And in talking back and forth, they said, wouldn't it be nice to have an elder hostel? So somebody said to this gentleman, whose name was Marty Knowlton, why don't you start one? Evidently, he was the sort of person that could get one going. I understand the first year was about 7 colleges in New Hampshire only. And then it sort of spread out in New England. And the next thing we knew, it was in all the states. It is now overseas. It's in England, the British Isles. It's in Scandinavia. It's in Hawaii. It's in all the states, of course, and Canada. And I think it'll spread even farther. I think as its fame gets to be known, it's going to spread all over the world. That's my feeling.
Now, Not to Be Alone is designed to offer friendship and support to widowers, people who live
alone.
Anybody
who's alone.
Or those who are just lonely.
That's true. They could be divorced or single. We even had somebody who wasn't getting along well with her husband. She was married, though. And she came down because she wanted to find friends. So anybody that was alone.
So how does the group differ from a singles group?
Well, I really don't know because I've never been part of a singles group. This was a real support group. I think a singles group, they lecture to you. And this is not a lecture group. This is something that where you're just reaching out to somebody else. That's all. If they want lectures, they can get that too. We tried to bring in people to talk about different things. As interesting as we could possibly make it.
I would like to add to it, in the same building, we have the College of New Rochelle. And many of these elderly are advised to attend college.
Yes, well, that's what I
And
said.
That we spend time in the college, and some of them get a degree. At the same time, we also make
it.
Use of Not to Be Alone.
Right, they love it.
And
I mean, once they get
being
used
it's in
to
the
it.
Same building, it's very easy. They make it convenient for us.
Yes.
Now, you both met through Not to Be Alone. Did you ever expect to marry again? Did either of you?
Well, I had never been against it, but I didn't think it would ever happen. What happened is that we became friends, naturally, as I would with any the people in the Not to Be Alone group. And he went to Israel one year, and I went to the Elder Hostel. Before we left, I had said, when you come back, we'll get together and we'll talk about our various experiences. And that's exactly what happened. We started talking, and next thing we knew, we decided maybe it would be nice to get together.
If there's one last thing that you'd like to say, what would you say?
There's always hope, I guess. I really don't. I think that people should never give up, and they should reach out. There should be a lot of outreach programs among young people and old people.
Thank you, Max, and thank you, Ethel.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. Production coordinator, Jean Hyde. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery at George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.